Welcome to the podcast. Today we're delving into a topic that affects so many of us but is rarely talked about openly, pelvic health. Joining us this morning is Kay Kerr and Nicole Thompson, both physiotherapists at Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre, who are passionate about helping us understand and take control of that pelvic health. So let's settle in, because today is presenting One for the Ladies with Kay Kerr and Nicole. Good morning, ladies.
Morning. Good morning, Rosemary.
Now, Kay, just tell us a little bit about what we're going to be talking about, and there's a little bit of a disclaimer here too, so I'll let you get into that right away.
Okay, thanks, Rosemary. Just starting with a bit of disclaimer, like you say, today we're focusing on women's pelvic health problems. However, we've got to remember that some of these issues are not just limited to women, but they're also for men and transgender individuals who may also have similar problems. We're all humans. Humans have these problems. Perhaps a topic, though, for another time. Today we'll focus on women. Pelvic health issues are extremely common for women, with urinary incontinence alone affecting around 25 to 45% of adult women globally. That's a lot, rising up to 50% in older women. With only one in three of those women seeking help, according to continence.org, which is a global website for incontinence. Yeah, and so today I've brought in my fellow physio from the practice, Nicole Thompson. Nicole, despite her broad Scottish accent, is a Caboolture resident these days and has worked at our centre for about the past 8 years. Much of that time has been helping people manage pelvic health symptoms. And pelvic health makes up a lot of my work as well these days. And, of course, it is sort of mixed in with the rest of our body. So, you know, we have to combine all our skills to work with these people.
Lovely, lovely. And, Nicole, you're going to have a little chat to us about something that you're quite passionate about.
Yes. Morning, Rosemary and Kay. So this is definitely something I am quite passionate about. And, you know, there's so many people suffering in silence, not necessarily knowing what you can do to help yourselves and where to even go at all, you know. And depending on what they've been told, some people think, oh, I just have to suffer with this. And actually, unfortunately, that's not necessarily correct, that you have to be suffering 100%, maybe we can help, maybe we can get rid of it. You know, and I think big thing is it's not necessarily a normal part of life. You know, whatever stage of life you're at, whether you're pregnant, you're coming into starting your menstrual cycle, coming into menopause, no matter what it is, you know, I think the big thing is we can help. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we can help you earlier in life, often helps. Instead of waiting 10, 20, 50 years until these symptoms you've had for years and years have become a bit more of a habit, you know, and it becomes harder to change habits that you've had for years and years, and all of it can make such a difference to your life.
I would hope so. But we don't normally think of the physio when we talk about pelvic health. You know, can you tell us how we can get involved, Kay? Because this is pretty important. I mean, everybody takes it as a given that you're going to do this, don't they?
Yes.
I think.
That's true. And often when pelvic health is talked about, it's talked about in the context of just a small area of women's, you know, personal organs and things like that associated with the pelvis. However, we've got to remember that the pelvis is a part of the whole body. So the pelvis offers structural support and stability. It holds the weight of the body and it transfers that weight down to the lower limbs. It's involved in the protection of organs, you know. It's the basin that protects the pelvic viscera, including the reproductive organs, the bladder, the rectum, the intestines, and it holds it all up and in. It's a muscle attachment for major muscles that and it provides anchor points for those muscles from the trunk, the back, the lower limbs, and, you know, all of that assists in movement and posture. It's essential for walking, running, maintaining balance. Of course, we think straight away of it being involved in childbirth. You know, unique to females, the pelvis is specially shaped to act as a birth canal. Also, particularly in terms of symptoms, one of the most common things is sphincter control. So the pelvic floor muscles, which are part of the pelvis, coordinate this work, you know, supportingly, you know, they provide support working together with the nerves that help to move and function for those muscles.
Oh,
yeah, so there's a lot happening,
body is wonderful,
all in a small region, and that means that there's a lot of potential for things to go wrong as well.
Kay, can you talk a little bit more about the structure and the function of the pelvis? I mean, you've given us a nice little insight. Just enlarge on this a bit.
Yeah, I guess what I am talking about in this area is that we can't ignore the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. We have to think holistically when it comes to the pelvis, particularly in terms of, you know, women's differences. Women's bodies are very affected by hormones, so their pelvis, their body is changing every month.
All
it's up and down. It's
with
hormones all through the stages of life, through puberty, through childbirth years, through menopause changes again. So we can't just say this is what we do for women. It's what we do for women at different times of their life. It's affected by so many different things. So I might take that over to Nick, though, to enlarge a little bit more about the actual pelvic control itself.
The organ and the support and dysfunctions, Nicole, hey?
Yeah, I mean, when we think about the pelvis specifically and what can go wrong, you know, if we think about your bladder, we can get, you know, urinary incontinence, the urgency, stress incontinence, that leakage when you cough, sneeze, jump. With the bowel, you know, again, we can get that incontinence, we can get that urgency, constipation. With any of the structures through the pelvis, we can get that prolapse. We've even got different conditions that we can get, such as like your endometriosis, adenomyosis, PCOS, although you might have heard that that has just been changed to PMOS, which still going to have to get used to. I think it's a good change, which with time will help with the treatment and management. Other things that can go wrong, you know, if we've had any injuries or trauma, you know, it may affect on, you know, the muscle activation, any tears, impacts on the nerves, how they can activate, tell muscles to move, what we're feeling through all these kind of different structures and tissues. Other conditions like your IBS, IBD, any changes through pregnancy, postpartum, all of these things, which you think they're so little, can have such a big impact on how we can function and control everything. Mm. So, yeah. So
Nicole, as you're speaking, I'm thinking many years ago when women were given in childbirth, if they needed to be cut to allow the child to come through, I think whoever was just hacking through some of those beautiful muscles, and later in life, no doubt, that would come back to bite you, wouldn't it?
Can do.
So if those muscles have been severed through, you know, through surgical procedures, how do we go about sort of strengthening what's left of that muscle, or can we get them joined together? I don't know. I suppose that comes into prolapse, does it?
No, they're slightly different. So generally with your childbirth, what you're talking about is like an episiotomy.
Mm-hmm.
So generally that's like a small cut that they're kind of just doing into your pelvic floor. For whatever reason, they're suspecting you might be getting a tear.
Yep.
And often if you are going to tear, we're more likely to tear towards your bowel, which if you're going to tear there, leads to a lot of other complications and concerns. So with the episiotomy, they try and promote a tear going away from
away
your bowels.
From that. Mm.
And depending on the size of the tear, if it's and that cut that they've done, they will often just leave it. They might not stitch you up if it's just very small, and that's where doing your exercises afterwards can help.
Would be very good,
Or if it's a bit bigger, they can do the stitches. And again, it's then that's partly why we always say it's so important to help do your pelvic floor exercises, potentially some massage, just because you still get scar tissue there. Some muscle, just like
the body's
anywhere
else. Got an amazing way of healing itself, like we'd get a cut on the surface of our skin, a scar can heal. Mm. Sometimes, though, we need to intervene if scar tissue is causing problems in itself, and it certainly can.
I'm just sitting here interviewing you ladies, and I have done with Kay for a long time. My goodness me, you learn a lot of things that you didn't even know you didn't know. Mm-hmm. You just took for granted. But
I think when it comes to pelvic health, Rosemary, a lot of people, we just don't talk about it, do we?
No.
And I love this space because, you know, we've got around half of the population were born female.
Yes.
They're going to have these problems and not talk about them. So thank you for allowing us to discuss, and I hope the ladies out there
get something from it. Yes. Now, you know, people often don't know what is normal, and when it comes to the pelvic region, because of it is not something that we discuss as we've talked about this morning. But I mean, what you've both been saying this morning has opened my eyes as well, and I hope it's opening our listeners as well. So, Nicole, we've just gone with things that don't have to be considered to be normal and some of the things that we can do to change some bladder habits for us or pelvic habits.
So I mean there's different habits that we get, good, bad, doesn't matter what it is, but when we think about pelvic health for your bladder and your bowel, some things can make it worse and we can almost make them feel normalized. And thinking about what we can do to help with that and noticing those patterns. So, for example, with your bladder, we can do like a bladder diary and we can see what you're doing, what you're drinking, when you're emptying your bladder. And just from kind of looking at that, we can get an idea about what actually might be going on in your urinary tract, control, input, and kind of gives us that bit of guidance about, okay, what might be going on if there's a concern with your bladder. You know, some people might go, oh yeah, but I've always gone to the toilet every hour and that's just what I do. I've always done it. And actually, it's not normal. And it can actually make functioning in your workplace quite difficult, especially depending on your job.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's say, what is a normal bladder? What do we think that would be?
Well, on average, I mean, if we're thinking that ideally we should be drinking as females about 2 to 2.5 litres a day, we're then thinking that we're emptying our bladder about every 2 to 3 hours, which probably works out about 4 to 7 voids of your bladder in a day. If you're under 65, you might not go to the toilet through the night, maybe once. And then for once we're over 65, it's quite normal to still go to the toilet up to twice through the night. Now, these actual volumes when we're voiding our bladder can vary from anything from about 250 mils to 400. Though your first void in the morning, often a bit bigger, 400 to 600 mils. I mean, most of us probably wake up and go, I need to go to the toilet. So for that's quite normal in the first thing. Through the day, you know, we're thinking that urgency isn't actually normal unless you've waited to go to the toilet for too long. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've all had those instances. You're sitting, you're waiting, you're in the meeting, and you're like, I need to go, I'll wait, and then you go, I'm busting. Mm. So in that instance, it's normal to get the urgency. On the flip side, it's not quite normal to be going every half an hour or having an accident on the way to the toilet. Those are the people we want to try and help if we can.
And they're not uncommon. They make up a lot of our referrals and we get kept busy with that. So, and usually when those people come in, that they're actually telling us that, well, that's just the way I am.
Yeah.
They normalise behaviours like that.
Yeah.
And it can be very dysfunctional for them, even keeping them at home and not wanting to leave because they don't want to leave the home where the toilet is right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, well, it's not normal if we wet ourselves a little bit when we cough or sneeze. I mean, that's almost accepted, isn't it? Wow.
So true. So many people just think that that's a normal part of aging.
Oh, my goodness.
And are quite surprised when we get concerned about it.
Yeah. So tell us, what can a physio do that will help this?
Well, there's lots of things we can do. I mean, the recommendations from guidelines are saying that we should always be looking at conservative management to see what we can do before you want to consider medications or surgical. Physio specifically, we're looking at, you know, education and a bit of support, helping with your dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at, like, even just simple little things like, you know, toileting habits and techniques, you know, your posture, your position. As physios, you know, we're not dietitians, but might be able to give you a bit of generic advice about diet and a bit of advice about fluid intake. We can obviously look at your pelvis, have a bit of an assessment, treatment, soft tissue, bones, neurological, both from external, and we can do pelvic internal assessments as well with our training. Looking at, you know, do we need to help facilitate activating or releasing muscles, manual therapy, mobilizing to the joints around, do we need to do strengthening, and a bit of advice on exercise to be safe with your pelvic floor. And depending on the stage of life, exercise, you know, do we need more stability because of hormonal changes, or, you know, do we want to make sure that we're helping promote good exercise to build strength in our bones for osteoporosis as well? Or, you know, looking at your whole body of what is going on and how can we help you, you know, considering, you know, as well, any other underlying medical conditions you have might impact your nerves, if you're post-chemo or anything like that as well.
Absolutely amazing stuff, and I'm really appreciating hearing all of this, Nicole. Kay, with the evidence that all of this is now globally accepted, but it's still not widely known, is it? So we need to put a little bit more into this, don't we?
That's right. Yeah, just listening to Nick talking there, I think medicine in general tends to put things in silos, and you know, pelvic health is one thing we really can't put into a silo. We need to look at that person quite holistically, and I guess that's where we, you know, where we contribute as physios.
Yes.
But when it comes down to research, research is often fairly narrow, you know, so some of the things that we can talk about are kind of narrow. For example, we know that pelvic floor muscle training is recommended as the first line of treatment for urinary incontinence being one of the specific things that goes wrong, where you're losing control of those muscles. A major Cochrane review found that women that do pelvic floor exercises are actually up to 8 times more likely to be cured of stress urinary incontinence. And we see those changes quite quickly in treatment usually.
Yeah, good.
They're around 6 times more likely to report cure across all types of incontinence, including stress incontinence, urgency incontinence. So the clinical guidelines from the International Continence Society and the International Consultation on Incontinence give pelvic floor training and lifestyle modifications first-line treatment. So it should happen before anything else for urgency and frequency symptoms. So that's the evidence base before looking into pharmacological or surgical interventions. Yeah. It's often not what happens in practice,
no,
but it is the international guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So pelvic floor muscle training improves quality of life, social participation, and general health outcomes. And that's evidence-based information.
Wow. So the muscles and the nerves, post-op, trauma, drama, oh dear, there's so many things.
It's a very complex area, yes.
It is. So can this occur in different stages of life? And we've mentioned puberty and your hormonal changes, Kay. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Like I say, women throughout our lives are going to experience these things. Young girls, young female athletes, in fact, are people who are regularly referred to us. Many of them become incontinent because they're overworking muscles on the external pelvis. They're trying to stabilise their pelvises to do very heavy, dramatic sort of work, and their pelvic floor can't keep up the balance of the muscles. So they can become, it can become overactive and cause them to have things like urgency or urge incontinence, or it could become weak as other muscles overtake. So, you know, that's well known amongst the young girls. Up to 80% of young girls in elite, as elite sport athletes, will suffer incontinence at some stage. And I haven't got a reference for that, but I know that that's
the case. Okay, you don't need a referral, do you, to get to a physiotherapist?
No, you certainly don't, and you haven't done most of my whole career, which is over 40 years, but there is still some misconceptions about that. So anyone can refer themselves. Obviously, a lot of our referrals will come from specialists, either gynecologists or urologists or gastroenterology clinics. We see a lot more of that these days.
Okay.
And also for men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always sort of recommended that, you know, we're going to ask, when did you last see the doctor? Because we really want to rule out things that could otherwise contribute to these symptoms. Of course, we're always looking out for red flags for that sort of thing. And if we notice that, we're probably going to refer you back in any case.
Well, ladies, it's reassuring to know that there is help available for these concerns that often go unspoken. While prevention is not always possible, there are practical steps that we can take to support our pelvic health. And I think I'll number them off and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but practice good toileting habits, maintain healthy eating and drinking habits, seek professional advice early where possible, and keep the pelvic region flexible and strong with exercise suited to your body and your stage of life. Heather, does that sound like four good ones?
I think you've done well, Rosemary. You've been listening.
I have.
Yeah, and I would just add and talk about it. You know, don't be scared to talk about these are bodily functions that we've made taboo over generations, over millenniums. But the more we talk about it, the less we normalise problems.
And I think, just as a footnote, I think women, when we all get together, they go, oh, don't make me laugh, I'll wet myself. Well, guess what? If somebody says that to you, we should say then, hey, go and see a physio, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
That's how girls can help girls, But it is, that's almost accepted, isn't it? Don't make me laugh or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
But in saying that, I do think there's a lot more talk about pelvic health than kind of things that are going on. Like, I had someone the other day that literally said to me, it's like, oh, we didn't used to talk about this, but now we do.
Yes.
And now we just found out I can get help. And it's like, this is great.
I think it's more common to hear that in the younger generation, but it's amazing how much older women are talking
nowadays. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. Ladies, I think that's a wrap. And look, a great big thank you to physiotherapist Nicole Thomason and Kay Kerr, of course, practicing owner and principal of physiotherapy from Caboolture Physical Therapy. What a great open little conversation we've had there, and an informative chat today. We touch on the importance of pelvic health, the common issues women face, and the facts that support and treatment is out there. No more suffering in silence, ladies. If you found this helpful, share it with somebody that you know and love and who needs to hear it. Until next time, take care. Find out other informative podcasts from Kay Kerr on 1015fm.com.au. Thank you so much, ladies. Very, very interesting.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Rosemary.